Welcome to The Firehouse, the show dedicated to the brave men and women who serve our community.
Hello, everyone, and how is everybody feeling? I am your host, Chris Moses, and today, sitting with me in the firehouse for the first time, this is the first time for this show, just so everyone knows, is Cameron Creighton. What's going on, brother?
The one and only.
The one and only. What's going on, bro?
How are you, man?
Listen, this is the first time we're doing this show, and I had to bring on one of my best friends in here. I started the fire service with him, so I was like, I gotta have him on for our first show. So, what is going on? How are you? I got some questions for you that the world wants to know, but tell me a little bit something. Like, what's going on with you?
I'm good. You know, me and Chris been rocking since 2008. Over 15 years ago.
Yeah, man.
And that's right. Going to plenty of fires with him. One of my closest friends. And
I was in his wedding. Just
my wedding. Yeah, a very tight suit. You know what I'm saying? But I'm like his little brother. You know, I used to get into clubs with his ID.
Yeah, you're right.
So we've been through it, man. He's about, what are you, 7 years older than me or something?
Yeah,
like that?
Seven.
So I was a young kid and Thundercat in the firehouse, and you guys brought me under your wing.
Yeah, I love it. So listen, I got some questions for you, and for, you know, our audience that doesn't know, he is a volunteer fireman, but he is also a paid fireman for FDNY. So my first question for you is just, you know, you being a young Thundercat, what made you want to get into the fire service?
Well, my uncle, Chief Charlie Creighton, he joined the Unidale Fire Department in about like 1996. And when I became 13 years old, he got us into the junior fire department. So for all of those who have young kids, 13 to 18 years old, they can join the junior fire department. And then after that, I matriculated into the big boys.
There you go.
Uh-huh. You know, at 18 years old. And so I've been there ever since at Brookside Engine Company number 2.
There you go. Best engine company out, huh?
Best engine.
So what made you want to go into paid? Because yes, we're volunteering. I'm volunteering as well, but I didn't want to go into paid. What gave you that push? What gave you that I want to do this as my career? You
know, so I was going to school at John Jay for also Nassau Community College for criminal justice. I wanted to be an FBI agent or a detective or something like that.
Law enforcement. Okay.
And something clicked in my mind, said, I'm already a volunteer fireman. Mm-hmm. I like what I'm doing. These cops are doing a lot of paperwork. I think I want to be a fireman. I think I like this. And so that, I think, started my whole process into just being a firefighter. It started in EMS.
Wow. Okay.
So you started, just
for the people that don't know, you started in FDNY EMS, right?
No, I started in EMS. I got my EMT certification through the Uniondale Fire Department.
There we go. So that's a gem there that people don't know, that if you're in the volunteer fire service, you can get your certification as an EMT for free.
Yep.
So go ahead.
And then I wasn't doing anything with it. I was actually in college at the time, and one of my mentors told me, yo, go get a better job. I was working at the Nassau Community College bookstore making $7.25 an hour.
Wow.
And
what year is this?
It's 2008, 2009, a little bit of 2010.
Okay.
You know, and then I got my first job working for Senior Care EMS, private ambulance company.
Okay.
I worked out of Brooklyn.
Shout out to Senior Care.
Yeah, I worked out of East New York, Brooklyn. And that was a whole culture shock.
Okay.
And then about a year later, I got into the FDNY EMS.
Okay. So that was the path. It was Uniondale EMT, getting the certification, going into Senior Care, and then going into FDNY EMS.
Yeah. Okay. Because FDNY EMS, the process takes a lot longer than a private company.
Okay.
So I got hired like this. But out of a private company, but at FDNY EMS,
takes a little over a year. Time. Yeah. But then we're still EMS. What made you still say, you know what, my next step is going to be firefighting?
You know, at some point in EMS, it becomes taxing on your body, and you say, this is for the birds.
So, wait. But taxing on the body, I mean, being a fireman is taxing on the body.
It's not as much running.
Okay.
So it's not as much calls.
You.
You're consistently in an ambulance all day long. sitting at a cross street location eating murder burgers. My castle, because I didn't know. You know, it's real taxing on the body. It's not like you're consistently going out the door and going to, you know, legit EMS runs. You know, you're going to abdominal pains that they've been suffering for the past year with. You know, you're dealing with urine and feces. You know, it could be real taxing on your body.
Much.
You know,
it's a bit much.
Although it's cool
to learn and see all that thing.
You know, I've definitely had my fair share of prime time calls. You know, stuff that made it to the news and stuff like that. But it definitely could be taxing. But also during that process, not only was it a calling of mine, because I feel like being a firefighter is a lifestyle, right? Sure. It's a lifestyle. So it was a calling of mine. Not only that, it was a huge bump in pay.
I can imagine.
You know, I'm making quite a bit more numbers than I was making in EMS.
Okay.
So, but I don't encourage anybody to do it for the pay. Don't do it for the pay, because you're going to be a detriment to somebody else's life. Do it because you love to do it. The pay comes with it.
I love that. I love that. Do it because you love to do it, and the pay will come with it. That's the way we look at it. So, listen, you just was talking about some stuff that, you know, you was like, things happen in EMS. So I need a story. I need something. I need something from EMS. I need something from fire. Tell me, what are some memorable situations that happened?
EMS.
Tell me something. Remember, we're on the radio, so
absolutely.
No curse.
So one of the most. Nah, it was all good. One of the most memorable.
Don't worry, you'll get it out.
One of the most memorable calls I ever had on EMS was actually our last attempted terrorist attack in New York City.
Oh.
I used to work on hazmat.
Okay. Well,
they call it HazTac, Hazardous Tactical Unit.
And this is still EMS.
EMS. Okay. Yep. Shout out to 10 Henry. That was my unit out of Harlem.
Okay.
I did my whole career out of Harlem, Station 16 and Station 10. And early that morning, I was working with a partner who was not qualified the same as I was. So she was driving. So if you have anything legit, I would take the patient because of my
certifications. So you'd be in the back.
Yeah.
She's in the front driving.
Right. Okay. So early that morning, we're about to get off. And I hear a call come in as bomb, explosion at Port Authority.
Wow.
And mind you, at this time, I'm at like 92nd Street and First Avenue, nowhere near me. I looked up where the other units are that have my same qualifications, and they were all busy on another call. So I said, hey, turn this bus around. Ambulances, we also call an ambulance a bus.
Okay.
Turn this bus around. I said, we're going. Fly there. At that time, I called dispatch. I said, yo, put me on it. And I don't have to ask. They know. If I say put me on it, put me on it.
And they're going
to
do it.
They're going to do it. Okay. So she said, 10 Henry, yeah, take it in. We fly in. Because of my unit and because of the FDNY logo, even though we're not first in, you get prime time.
You get prime time there. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So they said, 10 Henry, front and center. So we got up right in front. They brought the terrorist out. The guy, he tried to blow up Port Authority, that area. However, his blasting cap was the wrong way, and he didn't do the right job. He's from Bangladesh. It's all in the news. Mm-hmm. And he was in the back of my ambulance. So I had a guy with like a M4.
Oh, guarding.
Yeah,
guarding him.
With
okay.
a gun in his
okay.
face, you know. And I had several other cops back there with me, as well as intelligence back there with me. And we taking this guy to the ambulance, to the hospital.
Wow.
So that was a real memorable time. You know, one more.
I mean, what could top that?
Well, one more other. I was at Harlem Hospital. A young lady, she was having a hard time. She was having emotional distress issues. So we took her and her father to the hospital. Mm-hmm. As we're walking into the hospital, the cop that was escorting with us, his radio starts screaming, talking about multiple cars being blown up, big explosions, screaming at the top of his lungs on the radio. 116th and Park, mm-hmm. huge explosions. I'm like, what? I tell my partner, yo, let's go. Multiple explosions, a lot of people down, let's go. He looks at me and then looks back down at his tablet and keeps writing. So
he's like, what are you talking about?
And this is before it comes on my radio. I can hear it on their radio.
Okay.
So I'm like, what? I ran out to the ambulance. I'm listening to the radio and listening. And I run back into him and I'm like, yo, bro, let's go. There's multiple people down. There's huge explosions. Let's go. He does the same thing. Right? Looks at the tablet.
Sounds like he don't want to be bothered.
He does not want to be bothered with it, right? So I said, I ran back out, and within 5 seconds later, I ran back in. I said, bro, if you don't get in the ambulance right now, I'm going to leave you. Get in the ambulance. Let's go.
I
fly out. Flying down. We go available. We're trying to get on the call because it goes by GPS location, whoever's the closest. Okay. And I'm flying there. And he's so worried. He's like, yo, what are the secondary explosions? Secondary device? Da-da-da-da. You know, I roll his window down as I'm flying down Park Avenue. I roll his window down. And I said, bro, throw your panties out the window. This is what we do. Let's go.
And this is still EMS. We haven't even got the fire yet.
Ah, man, we didn't get the fire yet.
I said, this is what we do.
So, you know, we get over there. We didn't get assigned to the call at first.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to the area 116th and Park Avenue, and we see what's going on. At this time, I don't know if you guys know, but it was about like 8 years ago, 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They had a gas leak, reported gas leak, and the building blew up. I think 7 people died or something like that.
I'm pretty sure at that time you know about it.
Yeah, everybody
knew about it at the
time. And so the whole building blew up. It was a whole big catastrophe going on. And me and another unit pulled up around the corner trying to get on this call. And it just so happened that my unit got called, but for 115th and Park,
mm-hmm.
I think, or something like that, or one something, or 116th in Lexington for explosion. It was all one and the same call. I'm pulling up to 116th in Lexington, and the captain over there says, yo, whatever my unit was at the time, you know, hey, you guys are not my triage. I'm like, what?
That means triaging everybody.
So what that means is all everybody's coming up to me and I'm triaging them on who's the highest priority and who gets to go. So long story short, we were there for the next 2 hours servicing anybody that came out of that rubble.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, that partner was like, oh, that wasn't that bad.
That brings me to a question as I think about it. Like, you said that this guy was like not ready for this.
No.
What made you ready for this? Like, what, you know, what was in you that said, you know what, I'm going to do this. I want to do this. Is it just, you know, the bravado when you want to do it? Or is there something in you that's like, you know what, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do my best at it. Like, what pushed you to do that versus what you just said about, you know, your partner?
I feel like when you're called to something.
Okay.
It's your time to step up at any moment.
Okay.
So because it's in me, it's in my fabric, it's in my genes, I'm always ready for it. I trained for this.
Yeah.
So I want to be front and center because that's what I show up to work for. I don't show up to work for the Band-Aid brigades and stuff like that. I show up for when it's on, it's time for me to shine. Or it's time, not for me to shine, but it's time for me to go.
You to go to work and do your job.
Absolutely.
And do your job.
That's what I'm there for.
I hear it. And as a volunteer, I think that speaks volumes too, you know, because you're not just being paid to do this, but you're still a volunteer. So that means you're doing this without any pay, without any
100%.
So, I mean, that shows right there that your dedication and what, you know, what you want to do. So let's keep going on here. How much time?
Can we talk about volunteer?
Yeah. Tell me, talk to me. Let's go.
So,
you
know,
we still got some time.
We didn't growing up, you know, we were, oh, man, back in the day, we were gung-ho. You know, let me tell you about me and Chris. We were gung-ho. We didn't want to miss anything. You didn't even want to go to work sometimes.
We didn't. We really didn't.
Because you don't want to miss things. You always wanted to be around. We talked to each other. Like, yo, you want to be around tonight? Yeah, I'll be around tonight. Yo, hit me up. I got you. You know, me and Chris have been in plenty of fires together.
Many.
Let's talk about those memorable fires in 2 minutes.
In 2 minutes. So just so y'all know, he said it earlier, but we're both part of Brookside Engine Company, too. So that's Uniondale Fire Department.
Right.
But go ahead. 2 minutes. Let's talk about
Smith Street.
Smith Street
fire. I don't know if you remember this in total.
On the corner of Smith Street?
Right, that
corner one.
Yeah,
yep.
Where you want to get the nozzle up? That one.
I remember that one.
So, we pull up. I'm driving. Chris is the officer. I think you might have been captain or lieutenant at the time.
I think I was a lieutenant at the time.
We had one guy in the back. He was a probationary firefighter, so he was kind of new. A lot of fire on arrival. This house was rocking. Pull up. I'm starting to give them order, and another senior guy comes up to me because he was at Walmart and says, "Hey, yo, Cam, I'll take it from you." Cool. Because that means I'm going in.
There you go. So just so they know, really quick, when they pull up to the scene, he was the chauffeur.
Right.
So that means he's driving the rig. So when he pulled up, if he's driving the rig, he has to give water. Means what? He cannot go inside.
Right.
So if a senior guy comes, which usually will happen, a senior guy will come. They'll say, "Okay, listen, I'll take over the pump." That means basically he got action. He can go in.
Right. So I quickly put my stuff on and I met them inside. Chris is putting out a lot of fire. As this is happening, that probably behind him is screaming, "Chris, give me the line. Chris, give me the nozzle," because he wanted it so bad. Because it was a lot of fire.
It was.
So as this is going on, I can hear on the radio telling them to tell another engine company, which I will not name.
I'm not going to say. Go ahead.
Telling them to go to the second floor. There's fire on the second floor. Go to the second floor. And because of how gung-ho we were, I hear this happening. And I run back out the house. The second floor is partitioned off. You can only enter through the side door.
Yep.
So I run up the steps, and I get about halfway through the steps, and I punch through the wall.
Literally.
I literally punch through the wall,
people.
Through the drywall. And I said, "Chris, give me the line.
Give me the line." I already now have put out the fire in the living room area. And then he punches through the wall. I see his face. And he's like, "Pass me the line. There's fire upstairs." I pass him the line through
the wall.
And he goes to work upstairs.
That was pretty cool, you know. And the other one was on a Sunday morning.
Yep.
Sunday morning, we get it. There's a fire on the top floor. Second floor, and we get up there, and there's fire kind of in the attic area that we couldn't really get to. And while we're there, they're like, "Yo, we can't really get to this." And so Chris comes up with the genius idea. "Yo, Cam, take off your air tank, your pack, we were to breathe inside of a fire. Take it off. I'm going to hold it. And then you're going to get on my shoulders and I'm going to pass you the hose line. And you're going
to..." Any safety officers that are listening to this, I know we weren't supposed to do this, but we had to get the job done. We had to get it out.
So this guy, because back then Chris was big and strong.
You see him taking the shots, people, right? You hear it? Yeah.
And he holds the pack in one hand, puts me on his left shoulder, and they pass me the line, and I put out the fire while it's up there. So
those are some fun times. Are some definite good times. I hope y'all loving our walk back through memory lane.
Good times.
But listen, I got a couple more questions. Right. We got about 5 minutes left. I got something, a little game we're gonna play before we get out of here.
Okay.
But I got a question about movies, right? Because everybody watches movies and they know TV shows when it comes to firemen. So, in movies and TVs, firefighters kind of over-dramatize sometimes. So what is the most accurate portrayal you've seen or the most exaggerated? Tell me what the movie was and what it, that was the most accurate, wow, that's what I do. And then one that was like, I don't do anything like that at all. That you can think of.
That I can think of, maybe the movie Ladder 49.
Okay. It's
called Ladder 49 with John Travolta.
Okay.
That one...
was a bit over...
No, that one was
accurate.
Pretty accurate.
Okay.
Those guys actually prepared in a firehouse.
Wow.
And they actually went to fires and stuff like that.
To prepare for the role.
Okay. That movie's pretty good. So I think, Ladder 49 with John Travolta. And it actually had an emotional pull on you. Okay. Then I would say the most inaccurate but accurate but well over dramatized was Backdraft. First Backdraft. Yes. Don't go see the second one. Do not see the second one. The first one. That was well over dramatized. However, that was also kind of accurate, but definitely well over dramatized.
Yeah. I think they all captured the Firehouse Brotherhood.
Yeah.
The Firehouse Brotherhood.
Yeah.
I think they captured that, so that's good. But all right, so let's go. We got about a couple minutes left. We're gonna do a game called The Flashover.
All right.
All right. I'm gonna give you either a TV show or two movies, and you gotta tell me which one you like the best. Okay.
Don't cancel them.
It's the flashover. So that means that it's quick, really quick. 2 minutes, not even 2 minutes, 30 seconds. Tell the audience what a flashover is.
A flashover is when the room that you're in, everything reaches its combustion rate. So everything burns at a different rate, right? This wood on this table and in plastic, they all burn at different rates. So when everything reaches its combustion rate, everything catches on fire inside that room.
In that room. And they give you not even time, they give you steps. How many steps away from the door, I think we were told. There's a couple steps away from the door that you have.
Well, you have like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
4 seconds to get out.
To get out.
So how many steps you can take in four seconds?
4 seconds is how you must to get out of that room when you see that flashover coming. Right. So with that said, that means that this is quick. Flashover. Are you ready?
Oh, boy.
All right. And all I need is the name. Just tell me what it is. I'm going to give you two and you say it real quick. Okay. Are you ready?
All right.
Here we go. Chicago Fire, rescue me.
Good.
Which one?
Oh.
Pick one.
Oh, Chicago Fire. Sorry.
Chicago Fire. Rescue me or Third Watch?
Third Watch.
Ah, Backdraft or Ladder 49?
Backdraft.
And the last one I got for you. Mm-hmm. Are you ready for this one?
Ready.
Are you sure? The most important question I'm going to ask today.
Here we go.
Engine or truck?
Ooh. Engine.
There we go. I love it. Engine. All right. So I got one last question for you. All right. Being a volunteer fireman, right? Yes. We know that you are in FDNY and you took that as a career. But how has being a volunteer, changed your perspective on community safety and just life in general? How has being a volunteer basically changed your life?
Changed my life because it gave me a sense of duty to where I live. I'm very concerned about one of my family, of course, my friends, but it got me so into my community that I'm always looking and making sure my family's well. And I want to make sure that just my community's safe. So when I train for my community.
That's right.
When I train, when I do the job, when I answer the call, I answer to make sure my community is safe. So it gave me a sense of purpose.
Okay.
To walk and live out within the confines of Unidale and the surrounding neighborhoods, because if we don't do it, nobody else will.
Who's gonna
the FDNY is
right.
not coming.
That's right.
So it's up to us. And if we don't do our job and do our job well, somebody dies.
That's right. I love to hear that. So listen, quick 10 seconds. Is there anything you want to shout out? Is there anything that you're doing when it comes to being a fireman that you want people to know about or anything like that?
One, stay relevant into the job, right? Continue to work on your craft.
Okay.
Don't get complacent. Number two, shout out to Engine Company 2, Brookside Engine Company number 2 in Unidale, who started me on my path. Shout out to Engine 59, Ladder 30, the Harlem Zoo. In Harlem, the FDNY, and also shout out to Station 10 and 16. These are all people that helped me be where I am today. And also shout out to Christopher Moses.
My whole government he gonna give y'all.
I didn't say the middle name.
No. Say the middle name. Listen, thank you for coming. All right. Listen, I hope you guys had a great time. We just heard from Cameron Creighton about his life as a fireman. I hope you guys enjoyed the conversation. Please like, share, subscribe. I am your host, Chris Moses, and tune in next week for another great conversation in the Firehouse.